Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back here on the Community Coffee Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, we're going to have Randall Gay, two-time Super Bowl champion, one with the Saints, one with the Patriots, also a former LSU Tiger. Carl in Covington, what's going on, Carl? You're on WWL. Carl, are you there? All right, we don't have Carl, sounds like. If you want to join the show, 504-260-1870. You can also text at that number at 504-260-1870. Trying to keep you up to date on what's going on in the NFL. In particular, Pat Mahomes signing the deal of a lifetime, the richest contract in sports history, 10 years. Ultimately, it amounts to 12 years because he had 2 years left on his deal, but 10 years, $420-plus million, potentially as much as $503 million, $140 million guaranteed. And look, a lot's going to be made about this deal and really the longevity of it, but it's really just a commitment to Pat Mahomes long-term by the Chiefs. And 6 years into this thing, we might see them revisit it based on his play. It might warrant that. Because 6 years in, if he wins another two Super Bowls, his value goes up even more just because of how much he counts against the cap, which is about $20 million. And if they're able to win a Super Bowl with him counting for that amount, that shows you that he's kind of carrying the team a little bit. That's what's going to have to happen. All right, so we're going to have Randall Gay at 720. But don't get caught up too much with the longevity of it. Is there a guy more worthy of that contract than Pat Mahomes? If you're answering that honestly, you're saying, no, there's not. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the game currently. That's no knock on Tom Brady or Drew Brees. They're still elite, but this guy's 24 years old, has won a Super Bowl, an NFL MVP, and a Super Bowl MVP. We welcome in now Randall Gay, former Saints defensive back, two-time Super Bowl champion. Randall, how are you?
I am fine, doing well. I can't complain in the middle of all this craziness that's going on, but hey, it's all good around here.
It's good to talk to you, man. What are you up to these days? What are you doing post-career?
Well, as you know, after I retired, I went to law school, and I graduated law school in 2015 and has been a lawyer for almost going on 5 years now. I'm an assistant district attorney in the 18th JDC, and I'm also a personal injury lawyer at Clayton Prujan Ward Law Firm. So I'm staying busy.
Man, good for you. That's great. That's awesome. Where'd you go to law school?
I went to Southern.
Okay.
I stayed local. You know, I moved back to right after I was done. I moved back to Baton Rouge and went to law school and actually moved back to my hometown of Brulee about a year ago. So I'm just I'm back home now.
That's great. So you're a public defender and personal
no,
injury?
Not public defender. I'm sorry. I'm a prosecutor.
Prosecutor. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. Prosecutor, yeah. And you also have another practice?
Yes, I'm a personal injury attorney at a law firm.
So what's that like, man? It's a vastly different career than the NFL.
It actually isn't, if you really think about it, because what a job you really have. My job in sports is competing. It's me against you. Somebody's going to win. What other job can you really get in life that it's me against you? And that's what court is. It's I'm competing against somebody. I got to do all the work. I have to do my homework. I have to practice, and I have to fight a battle. And I want to come out on top at the end of the day. So that's the closest you can get to competing when you're done with sports. So, and I'm enjoying it.
Man, that's great news. I think that's cool as heck. Had you always set out to have that as your career goal, your post career goal?
It was more of a situation where, I mean, I knew when football was over, I was going to have to do something. It was just, you know, when you're in college, you really don't know what you really want to be. And I was fortunate enough to have extra time to think about it. So while when my career, you know, halfway, when you're about 4 or 5 years in, it's like, okay, I'm probably closer to the end than the beginning. So I need to really start focusing. And my wife, she said she wanted to go to law school. And it was like, you know what? I think that might be a great idea. I think that's a plan. So I just asked her to wait for me, though, because I was like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do this. So wait for me. So I actually, the year we won the Super Bowl, I took the LSAT during minicamp. Coach let me miss a day of minicamp, the mandatory minicamp, to go to Baton Rouge and take the LSAT. And I took it and forgot about it, really. Went back to play, played the next season, and I was ended up on IR with another concussion that year and ended up being my last season. So it was kind of like a blessing that I was prepared. So sat out 1 year, went to law school.
Man, that's amazing. I'm thrilled to know that and to have learned that. So how are you received in your hometown, having been, you know, having brought the home state team a Super Bowl, and now you're also a prosecutor?
Oh, right now, well, I think a couple of years ago I was kind of cool, but now I'm just I'm just another person. I'm just blue again, which I would rather like that. You know, I was here my whole life, and it was kind of weird when coming home and people treat me different, you know, treat me like I was some kind of celebrity. I didn't, you know, it made me kind of uncomfortable, but now that I'm around everybody every day, I'm at the same meetings, I'm at the schools with them, you know, my kids are in the schools, their kids at my house, my kids are at their house, so it feels good to be able to be part of my community as a normal person, even though, you know, I'm still somebody who in a position that I can help a lot more people, whether it's being at the DA's office or just with my knowledge of things in the community or anything else. But it feels good to just be a regular part of the community.
What have you thought about, if any, the Saints here lately on this 3-year run that they've been on so close to Super Bowls? And I'm sure that's painful to think about, but nonetheless, I'm sure you're kind of stayed tuned with your former team, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been, this year I couldn't make it because I was at I had a kids basketball game that day. So I actually couldn't go to the playoff game, but I was at each playoff game we lost the last couple of years. And it's heartbreaking because at the end of the day, once you become a part of an organization, especially an organization in your home state, and do something special with that organization, which is, you know, I'm able to say I'm a Louisiana native who brought the first, and right now, as of right now, I don't think it's going to be always that way, but right now the only championship to our state. So that's special. So I just feel a connection with my team, and I'm always rooting for them. And it's been heartbreaking, but it lets me know how tough it really is to win a championship. And things just have to go your way. It's that year we won the Super Bowl, it seemed like everything was going our way. And now the teams that they are having now, probably better than our teams, but that break just don't seems to always go the other way. And so it makes you sit back and realize how special it is to win that championship.
You mentioned that you're just blue now in your hometown. How did you get that nickname?
I tell you what, I knew Blue before I knew Randall. That's all I can remember. Everybody and people around my neighborhood didn't know me as Randall until probably I got to the NFL. Randall, who is that? Oh, Blue. Oh, that's Blue. It was a baby name. And, you know, as you get older and people start to become a little more popular, everybody said they gave it to you. So I'll never know where the name came from. It was just from the time I was in school, and everybody called me Blue in elementary school, high school. Principals, teachers, it was just Blue. So, and when I got to the NFL, they asked me if I wanted to, you know, go by that, but I didn't care. I said, use my name. I was just happy to be in the NFL. I'm not going to be picky. I just want to make sure my name is on the roster. That's it.
Randall Blue Gay here, two-time Super Bowl champion, former LSU and Saints cornerback. And Randall, what was it like watching your former LSU Tigers win a national championship last year?
Oh, this season, I'll tell you what, this is one of the best feelings in the world, because going in over the years when I was actually in the NFL, we were a decent team, and we ended up winning a championship in 2007. And then it was just kind of disappointing that we would see the talent coming through and we just could not get over the hump. And then what didn't help that when your former coach is the one that's just beating up on you every year, it is frustrating, because you look at Alabama staff and a majority of them at one point had coached me. So you want them to do well, but when they're beating up on your team, it gets to a point where it's like, all right, I'm tired of you. I don't want you to do well no more, Coach Saban. So to come out this year and for those boys to come and show that they were probably the best college football team in the history as of college production. We'll see. Miami team, when you look at the Miami teams of the early 2000s, when you look back on their NFL careers, I don't know if we're there yet, but we have the possibility to be that in the NFL. But college-wise, this team was a special team. They would have blew our national championship team out bad. I will admit that. I'm not one of those guys. They would have beat us so bad. They were that good this year.
You talking about the 2003 team?
Three, yes. 2003, they would have beat us in. You know, we had a great defense. We were giving up, 8 points a game or something like that. But, yeah, they would have scored a lot more than 8 points on us. I can tell you that.
Randall, as you look back on your playing days, what's the fondest memory you have? I know, I'm sure winning a Super Bowl is up there, but just maybe winning it for the state of Louisiana, being a Louisiana kid?
I think it was – I can't point to one moment in my football career, just because, you know, I go to LSU as a running back, and I'm there and it's Dominic Davis and LeBrandon Tofield, and I come in with Devery Henderson and Darren Parkett, and I'm looking around like, oh my God, I am never going to play. So they move me, Coach Saban, within a week or so, I get moved to cornerback, and I'm covering Josh Reed, and that was the biggest confidence killer ever, because I've never played really cornerback before, and he's killing me. So it's just a situation where, like, I'm getting killed, and it's like, well, I'm going to just be on this scholarship for 4 years and get me a good education and get a degree and get a job and handle my business. That's how I was thinking. So to go from that to not getting drafted, so I'm counted out again, and starting 12 games my rookie year, playing and starting in the Super Bowl, at the time have a Super Bowl record of tackles at the time, I think it passed now, but, and then end up playing in another Super Bowl, going undefeated, making history with a team, even though we lost in the Super Bowl, and then to make a decision in free agency to leave an undefeated team to come to the Saints team, who I don't know if they have made the playoffs this year, but just wanting to come back home. Everybody was like, you know, you're leaving the Patriots to go to the Saints. Like, you know, you're not going to win like that. I was like, I don't even care. I just want to be a part of my hometown team, because I knew I was going to, you know, move to Louisiana and live here for the rest of my life. So I just wanted to be a part of that. And then to get here and my first practice in the spring, I'm looking around like, this team is not bad at all. Like, I'm looking and I'm like, okay, we have a Tom Brady. We have Colston. We have this. We have that. I'm like, we are not that far away. And then to come and win that championship, it just brought me back to the day when I went to go play football and told my daddy, I am not playing, because he brought me out there and I'm like, nah. He said, I'm going to let you watch him practice first. And I think I'm like 8 or 9. And I said, yeah, daddy, I don't think I'm playing. And he didn't make me say, all right, you come when you're ready. And so I go home, and it was like I regretted that decision the next day. So the whole year, I'm just in New York playing. Can't wait for the next football season. So that just brought me back to that day. And I am very thankful and blessed. And it's just been something that I try to pass down to all of my local kids. Like I say, I'm home. So the Bruley, Port Allen, Plaquemine area, I'm constantly telling them, like, look, y'all, the same places y'all hang out, the same things y'all doing, that's what I was doing. I did not think in a million years that I would ever play in a Super Bowl, a national championship, be in the NFL, be an attorney right now. It was just, I just always wanted to do my best and try my hardest, and look where it got me. And if I can do it, I am nothing special. You can do it. You just have to want it. You got to make some good decisions in life. So
career. Randall, can you hang out for a couple more minutes? We're going to take a break and then get you back.
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Nothing to do. I'm off.
Randall Gay, 2-time Super Bowl champion, attorney at law, prosecutor in personal defense. I love saying it, Randall. I think that's great. I think it's magnificent for you.
Hey, I thank you, because, you know, sometimes it still feels funny to me hearing that too. You know, it's like, man, Blue's a, and people are like, Blue's an attorney. Like, wow. And I'm trying to be a great one. I'm fortunate. Like, I don't know what happened with me and in my life and my coaches somewhat, or whatever you want to call them, some of the greatest ever. I went from Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, and now my bosses at our law firm, they are beasts at attorneys. So I'm like, man, I got to learn from the best my whole life. So I'm a lucky guy.
That's humility right there. Randall, when you look at everything that's going on in this country, and in particular with social injustice and the calls for police reform, as a prosecutor, how does that ring with you?
Well, this is something that I think it needed to be discussed some, because if you really look at the situation as a whole, I think it is some imbalance in how the legal system goes, as in the numbers, and it makes it look like a certain race of people are doing all the crimes, when in reality it's really not. But at the same time, when people talk about defunding the police, I'm like, that's I don't think that's the way to do it. If you look at how this system is set up, it's police and teachers. That's some of the most important jobs there are out there. These are the people who teachers are teaching the kids for the future generations to lead our country. And police are out there to protect, to make sure we are safe, and they have the power to affect people's lives. Like, with a stroke of a pen, your life is affected. You know, matter innocent or not, you know, an accusation can kill somebody's career. So they have all the power in the world. So what we do, we make them some of the lowest paid people out there. You know, what are you going to do? Who really, and I'm not, this is not to down any police officer, because there are some great police officers out there, a lot of great ones. But who, if you go to college, people spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a college education. Who's going to graduate college after spending that much and apply for a job that pays $24,000 a year? So if you want to get a person who's dedicated, who's willing to put in the price of putting that much money to become an officer, we need to find a way to attract that person to be an officer. So I think we need more funding so we can get more people who are not just trying to get this as a job. It is something they really care about, and it's something that they can be compensated for. Because like I said, if I got beat up on the football field and went to law school, I would not be going back out there to work for $20,000 and with my life on the line. So it's just, I think there's a lot of things we need to look at and just really see what our priorities are right now.
Randall, shifting gears back to your playing days, concussions kind of cut your career short. Do you remember,
yeah.
can you describe some of the worst parts of having a concussion?
I think it's really more of not the stuff that happened then, it's more of the stuff that's happens now. Because when you're young and you have the concussion, I mean, you have a little symptom, but for the most part, you're like, I'm good. I can go. I can deal with a little headache, or I can deal with this. But as you get older and you see that you don't remember stuff the same, you don't speak the same, it's just a different feeling. You'll be in your room, people asking you what's wrong, and you tell them, I don't know, something is wrong, but I can't tell you. It's those type of things that's the scary part. Because while you're playing, it's just like more of, hey, you've been trained to be a warrior, you got an injury that you can't see, I'm all right, I can walk, I can talk, I can count, I can play. But when you're done, it's, wow, I'm feeling the effects of it. But I tell anybody in my life, would I do it again? Yes, I would. Because, you know, there are people out there who didn't play football, who didn't get compensated like I was compensated, who are suffering with the same symptoms as me, who has memory loss or whatever that is. So how am I going to complain about it when people dealing with the same thing I'm dealing with and did not get the joys that I got from the sport.
Do you have any kids, man?
Yeah, I got two kids. I have a 16-year-old boy and a 12-year-old boy. Two boys. And then that's the other thing I do. I coach. I've been coaching my youth football. I started our youth football team in Bruley, me and a couple guys from around here about two years after I fit retired. I think we're going on our seventh season. Coach a little basketball, even though I don't know too much about basketball, but I can teach hustle. I don't know much, but hustle in sports, that can get you a long way. But guys, that's basically my day now. I deal with court stuff in the daytime and kids at night, and I'm a juvenile prosecutor, so I get to deal with kids all day, basically, which is what I really like to do.
Randall Gay, two-time Super Bowl champion, former LSU and Saints cornerback. He's also an LSU national champion. And Randall, when you look at your career, it sounds like you're extremely grateful that it happened. How much do you talk about that with your kids in terms of the ones that might, you know, they might want to know more about what Dad did prior to him being an attorney? Do y'all talk about that much?
Well, Mike. I'll tell you this, your kid, and I'm sure you guys go through it too. Your kids don't really care about you. They care about everybody else who might do the same thing you did, or you're nobody to them. It was, I was going through it. Their favorite players was Honey Badger and Odell and everybody else. And it's like, you know, I played a little ball, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, and it was just, and like when I first retired and Corey Webster was around here too, Corey Webster's son would listen to anything I said and would not listen to him. My son would listen to anything Corey said and would not listen to me. But my oldest son, he was fortunate enough to be able to remember a lot of my playing days. But my youngest, he sort of remembers. But nowadays, they're YouTube, and I think they appreciate me a little bit. But hey, they see that I'm there for them no matter what. I'm going to push them hard, and I just want them to do their best in everything they do.
Randall, I can relate because, you know, I've got a pretty good radio career, and I get told by my kids, well, yeah, you're not Bobby Hebert, though. You didn't play.
Exactly.
You didn't play football. You didn't play pro football. And I'm like, that's fine. That's fair. But, come on, your dad's got a pretty fairly successful career going.
No matter what you do, they're going to look up to somebody else. Like, you think about it. Was it Drew's son that said his favorite player was somebody else? And it's like,
right.
Come on, bro.
That's Drew's kid. Drew might be the most successful quarterback in pro football history.
History. That's what I'm saying. They look at it, oh, I like this player. It's like, huh? I'm here. But, hey, but I kind of it doesn't bother me. It's funny, though, that it's like, You're living, and everything you had is because I did this, but you don't even like me. They just like, you know, we're tough on each other. So we got to
You know what I remember most about you is that, man, 99.9% of the time when the media walked in the locker room, no matter what happened at practice or a game, and look, you certainly didn't like to lose, no doubt about it, but you always found a way to have a smile on your face. You know, you just did. Whenever I was around Randall Gay, there was always some positivity around it.
Because, I mean, my mom died when I was 18 years old, right as my freshman year at LSU. And I really went to LSU because I didn't want to leave her. So when you deal with the toughest thing that you can – well, besides losing a kid, probably losing your mom is probably the toughest thing you can ever deal with in life. And at that age where I really thought I really needed her, to lose her at that age and then go and graduate college, have a son and go to the NFL, it was like, you know what? I had a scholarship to LSU. I don't have to worry about my education. Who am I to not be try to make the best out of everything that's going on, just because it's a lot of people who have it a lot worse than me. And I still try to have that mentality just day that, you know what, Blue, don't feel sorry for yourself, because it's a lot of people who would beg and pay to do a quarter of the things that you've done in your life. So don't ever feel sorry for yourself, because it's always somebody else who's looking up at you. So that's why I try to stay positive. And it takes a lot. People, they tell me in court, it takes a lot to make me mad. I'm like, yeah, because, I mean, why be mad? It's why be upset over stuff you can't control. Try to be happy. Try to make the best out of it. And it's worked for me so far in life. So I'm going to continue to do it.
Randall, before I let you run, how about the contract that Patrick Mahomes signed?
That is... I don't know. That's amazing. I'm happy for the guy. I don't know if that's going to – I don't know how good that's going to be for the sport in the long run, just because when you just gave a player basically $50 million a year and your next highest player is going to be paid probably 17, that's going to start causing friction between in this locker room that, all right, these quarterbacks – they cannot win by themselves. So why are y'all – I mean, you have to have a good quarterback, yes, but at the same time, no quarterback is worth $40 million more than the next player a year. So I think that's a situation that has to be corrected, because the quarterback salaries are going to just grow and grow and grow. And everybody else's salaries, they're growing, but not at that rate. And that's too big of a gap between – the quarterback and the next highest player. But yeah, I am happy for a guy. Anybody who's making money, I am happy for him.
Yeah, I kind of wondered the same thing. Randall, it was a pleasure to talk to you, man. I'm glad to hear you're doing so well, and obviously being a two-time Super Bowl champion, an LSU college football champion, an attorney at law, man, you got it going on. Good for you.
Thank you very much. And anytime – I'm just about always available, so I don't mind talking.
Randall, give us a hoot at before you run, man.
Oh, yeah. Hoot at and go Tigers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.